Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay.
What are you calling a tigger?
Above sea level at Intergalactic Canine Studios.
You talking to me?
We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck.
Tom Snyder smoked.
Can you feel it?
Who's Jewish? Who's Jewish? Working? Raise your hand.
Can you feel it, Diana?
Are there any Jews in the theater tonight? Diana! Are there any
I'm representing the Ashkenazi. I heard you say that.
Ashkenazi. You can't say that on radio.
Hey, I'm part coon. I'm 164.
Whoa, all right. We are off to a banging start here.
I'm cat. I'm coon. I'm deer. I'm antelope.
We're covered by a Bipcot. So take this and run with it.
Hey, check your email. I just sent you guys a link. All right, I'm on. I'm so happy that you guys are here. You're my buddies and friends. And
I'm so happy.
Yeah,
I've had a good week. I sold some silver and bought
everything is awesome.
When I was selling the silver, the guy's like, didn't I just sell this to you like a year and a half ago? And he was like, yeah, I was going to save it for the Nazi apocalypse. I mean, the zombie apocalypse, but, you know.
Same thing.
I needed some synthesizers and better speakers. I bought like my first good speakers ever today, and it's amazing. I'm listening to music I listened to as a kid and going like, wow.
Attention, hunters and shooters.
Yeah, okay. I sent you this thing from I went to the ear doctor today because for my ear checkup. Look at this ad. Look at this website for a doctor's office in Wyoming, and imagine trying to get away with this in California.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Or here in New Yorkistan.
Yeah. So it's an ad for Wyoming otolaryngology.
On either of the left coasts.
What is that word? I don't know what that is.
It's voodoo.
Otolaryngology. It's ear, nose, and throat, basically.
You make it sound so poetic. Say it again.
Otolaryngology.
Okay, say it 8 inches worth.
Otolaryngology.
Whoa.
Okay, 9-inch nails worth. Go ahead.
9-inch nails.
Hey, that's what it takes to hang up our Lord and Savior. That's what it takes to hang up our Lord and Savior.
Oh, on, there go three or four stations
Jews,
right now.
He's the King of the Jews. We love Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
This is my God. This is the end, folks. It's been real.
I didn't cuss. I'm not talking about man boobies. I'm just talking about.
Why don't we just rattle off everything that's gotten us kicked off the stations in
okay,
one segment?
So my
wait, man boobies got us kicked off?
Oh, please stop.
Steve Miller was talking about his love of sweaty Asian man movies, and it got kicked us off a station in Pensacola, Florida.
Dear Lord.
And then Lou said something about
I'm
cop.
Crying.
What was it, cop? Hey, your day's better than it was this morning.
Yeah. Well, it's already tomorrow for me, so it's got to be.
Jeremy, am I making you feel good? Taxation
Aww,
is
listen to
theft.
That laugh. I love it.
All right, so my doctor's website is a guy with a shotgun and hearing protection in.
It's pretty funny.
Like they would burn this place down in California or New York if this was the website. But in Wyoming, like, oh, you want to get people into the otolaryngologist or even have known it is, you have to have a guy with a break action single shot Brunelli shotgun on the website. When I first saw this, I was like, oh, are they going to start prescribing silencers? Because, you know, that's a thing. Like, some GOPs are trying to like push for to make it so every state so you can get a silencer for your pistol, which is a great idea because guns ruin hearing even with hearing protection.
Mm-hmm.
And silencers, they don't make them whisper silent, but they make them a lot quieter. And but you know, it just blows the minds of Democrats. Like you might as well say, I want to sell crack and assault rifles in vending machines at middle school to say mm-hmm. we want to make it legal for everyone to get silencers.
Well,
but it's
of
actually
course,
like you could get a prescription from a doctor in Wyoming that makes it quicker to be able to get the permit from the federal government to get a silencer.
That's cool.
Yeah.
If they say you're already having your problems that you can get with, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like I know a guy who mm-hmm. did it who was a cardiologist and he had to be able to listen to people's hearts very closely
through
the stethoscope.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So But, you know,
have,
I just
have you ever tried to really use one of those things? It's, it takes a little while to get used to.
A stethoscope?
Yeah, I gave mine. Yeah. I got one when I first got sick and started amassing medical
obsessively
equipment.
Listening to yourself?
Yeah. And, you know, I have blood pressure stuff. I have heart stuff. I have oxygen stuff. I measure everything and write it down every day.
Man, I'll just come visit you if I get sick.
Yeah. Well, I got enough, like, anyway. I could.
You're
I'm probably
not that
better
far.
Equipped. I have everything that they give you in the hospital when you go to the hospital with an asthma attack. I've got oxygen, steroids, and nebulized albuterol. Like, I'm not, you know, it's mine. I can't let other people use it. But I'm actually probably as well fitted for asthma as like a third world clinic. But
when Michael calls the Freedom Fiends a teaching hospice, he's not being hyperbolic, folks.
I know. Let's go back to a hospital. I'm better. I'm getting better slowly.
Yeah.
You can tell by my voice how good it is and sexy, but yeah, man. I gave my my stethoscope to Nick so he could listen to his yaks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, for what purpose?
I have a good deal. Well,
because you want to see what's inside him before you cut him open. I don't know. You know what they say. No one should be able to marry a woman without cutting one open to see what's inside it.
Yeah. No, yeah, actually, so, I haven't until now.
Okay.
Slightly disturbing. Does Nick sell his yak meat?
He does, but only locally.
Laws about interstate commerce. With
No, no. He said for the most part it was the shipping issue and his.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I talked to him about it. It was really about his goal was to build up his local customer base, so that's what he really wanted to focus on.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because I noticed there's yak meat on sale at a local kind of health food store here.
Yak meat.
I've still never tried it. I want to.
Yeah, I would totally. Yeah, absolutely. I would eat that.
I went to pick up DJ at the airport last night. She was visiting her mom. And when she came back, when I went out to the airport, like I pulled off the highway to the airport, took a right, and like right there on the corner of the highway and the airport road, there was an antelope at midnight. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You know, you're in
Wyoming.
Was
it a buck?
Groovy.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, cool.
I'm not gonna say because you'll go shoot it. Yeah, and then there was this big trailer for like some like tourist thing of like hunters who are in wheelchairs and they have like, you know, they bring them to Wyoming and have them hunt and it's all they're equipped for that, and they have this trailer for the wheelchairs and stuff, and I was like, oh, they should just bring the guy off the plane, wheel him out to the edge of the road, shoot the antelope, and then put him back on the plane. Taxation is theft. So I got a couple announcements. Okay. The iTunes Freedom Fiends app is going to disappear in a month. It just won't work. I'm not paying $400 a month. Ian Minnelli sent me $100 for it.
Wow.
Nobody else did. And I said to Ian, you know, if I don't get more money, I'm not going to do it. And
I'm sorry, I can't afford it.
He said, well, why? Because you got to buy a $1,200 iPhone next week?
Oh, heck no. I still have the one I've had for 3 years now, and it's cracked.
2006. Oh, okay. Well, let's get an Android for $200 that rocks your world, and you can have the Android Fiends app. So Ian said, no, just keep it for whatever you want. Just don't spend it on chicken bones, which is a reference to the time someone paid me $6 at a party in San Francisco in 1986 to do something with a chicken drumstick at a party in a part of my body, and people are still talking about it. You know, they think they're making fun of me and they're better than me, but you know what? How many comedians do you remember a bit they did in 1986? I'm still famous, and I'm not even a comedian. So he said, spend it on anything but chicken bones. So I said,
I've heard so much worse than the chicken bone. I've heard so much worse than that.
I spent it on synthesizers. And actually, so I have a new drug addiction. So there's this thing called Eurorack. Do you guys know what Eurorack is?
No.
It is a format, a universal format of modular synthesizers. And there's about 10 places around the world that build these, you know, like you buy the you don't just buy a synthesizer, you buy a rack unit, and then you buy the oscillator, the filter, the voltage controlled amplifier, etc. And you like build and match and mix and match, and people get incredibly obsessed about this. And you can get like, you know, people will spend like, you know, $1,000 and get a really basic synthesizer. But like, you look at Trent Reznor's like tour of his home studio, he's got a wall of little Euro racks. And
groovy.
They're better and more configurable than like modern digital synthesizers or even analog synthesizers that are all one unit, like the little Micro Brute I bought. But the Micro Brute has a little patch bay in it where you can patch Euro rack modules in and out of it. So I started talking to this guy in Greece who makes them, and I ordered my first one today from Athens, Greece, where there was a British tourist killed by a pack of wolves today. So
oh,
be
my
careful.
Goodness.
You're listening in Athens, Greece. Don't go out after dark and don't go smelling like eel pie. I think that's the problem.
Eel pie?
Lamprey.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so let's see. So synthesizers. So yeah, so I ordered one module from him for $150 so I could have two oscillators instead of one on the Microbrute, because the Microbrute is great and it's a wonderful synthesizer. I paid $250 for it. They're $300 new. But so I hear that. I hear you vaping. So I bought this one thing so I could have two oscillators on it, because the limitation of the Microbrute is it only has one oscillator, and the it sounds like classic 70s analog synths, except they all have two or more oscillators. You can slightly detune them and just go wah, 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 and get that, you know, Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon.
Like, oh, yeah.
Vibrate the auditorium sound. So, yeah. I'm never going to leave my room.
I've been listening to your stuff, and it's really good.
Have you said goodbye to DJ officially, or
DJ? She loves it. She's like, we got music in the house, man. That means I'm not dying.
I thought you said you were gonna lock yourself. I thought you said you were locking yourself in your room, and you know, never coming.
Never
out.
Coming out again.
In the house. No.
Yeah. Oh, I was locking
come
your house.
And hang out with her. She loves it. We listen to music tonight. Like, we like a lot of the same music, and you know, I put it on the nice speakers and went in the other room and we sat and talked while we listened to like the Beatles and Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and Peter Gabriel and Genesis and all sorts of stuff.
There was one thing that you one of the things
analog
from
synths,
the, I think
all
the from the lymph clearing or whatever
the
it was
musical enema for your lymph system.
For your lymph system. And there was one piece that you did that sounded like Led Zeppelin. God, what is that song?
Anyway,
Whole Lot of Love. It sounded like the little bit in the middle of Whole Lot of Love. It sounded like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the descent, the musical descent into hell is how Jimmy Page described that part of that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah,
the
it kind of sounded
bow.
Like that.
Well, I can't really sing it, so I can only squeak with synthesizers. I put a little on. But I did, like, I've been doing, like, a song every other day, and, like, each one's, like, a new genre. I'm digging it. And like, some of these drum... I've never really played with drum controllers and drum synthesizers, and it's like, I can't believe I put up with drummers. Like, they really can't keep beat. They get drunk. They're all creeps because they hit things for a living. It shows in their personalities.
Meow.
My cat plays better drums than Tony Fagg.
Oh, shots fired.
Yeah, pictures prove it.
Arms.
Meow.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Hi, we're back.
Eurocrack.
Eurocrackers.
Eurocrackers. So Eurocrack is what they call Eurorack since modules, because they're so addictive. Search Eurorack.
White people in Europe are called Eurocrackers.
Playing the home version. What did you say about this, Jeremy? Why couldn't you do this? Because everything's like, it's all separate modules patched together in like a rack mount system with like wires connecting them, like an old telephone operator, like, hello, you know, like in the 60s, how they did long distance calls. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so many buttons and knobs. So I just can't get over it.
Twist my knobs.
The buttons and knobs are one thing. But yeah, all the crisscrossing wires and stuff, it would drive my OCD completely insane. Like, even right now, I have my setup with my two laptops to do the show, and the laptops are plugged in, but the cords are still wrapped up as much as they could possibly be, with just a little bit of room, wiggle room for them.
But you can't do that with Eurorack, because the idea is not to make it permanent. The idea is to have it.
Well, this isn't permanent either. I don't have a permanent studio as of yet.
But you hook it up the same way every week with Eurorack. You'd like
it's like a telephone switchboard kind of thing
for every song. Yeah, yeah.
It would still drive me insane.
I know.
I couldn't do it.
Well, if you look at videos of people talking about their Euro rack systems on YouTube, it's like a cult, and it's all people with OCD and Aspies. You know, they're all Aspies, and they're all like, hey,
we are everywhere.
I used to have a girlfriend, then I got a synthesizer. I will use my synthesizer as a mating call to attract women. Oh, speaking of whores ruining the lives of great men.
Whoa. Excellent segue.
Yeah, so John Frusciante, you know who he is? Great
man.
Oh,
yeah, from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. The guy that...
He's still alive?
Joined the band when he was like 18. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he joined the band when he's like 18. It was his first band. Was mm-hmm. playing in stadiums with the Chili Peppers. Yeah.
He was with them when they came out with Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Yeah, he's like most hardcore fans' favorite guitar player. And then he... Mm-hmm. Then he like flipped out and quit on tour in Japan. They had like talk him into playing that night show, and then he flew home. They canceled the tour. He's like, I'm too delicate of a soul to play stadiums. And then he like took his, you know, huge royalty checks, moved into the Chateau Marmot in LA, and
Marmot.
Just like shot heroin and smoked crack.
Yeah.
And my friend Martine, who's clean now, who's married to married with children, Bundy, Kelly, he was in there shooting crack with him. So he knows, I have secondhand experience of what this place looked like. Like blood, like squirting the blood from the syringes on the walls, like 2 feet of like takeout containers rotting on the floor for a year, and like recording music that's unlistenable but brilliant. But he's a really good guy and a really sweet guy. And I remember like... You know, Dave Navarro took his place, and all the fans hated the Chili Peppers and Dave Navarro. That was my favorite Chili Peppers, and I went and saw him 3 times backstage, sitting on stage, you know, because my friend was their manager, tour manager, and I got an argument with Dave Navarro before a show, and it was fine. They still let me backstage the next tour, but the next tour, John Frusciante was back with him. My friend who's the manager is like, okay, Michael, you stay away from John. Don't talk to him like you talk to Dave. Dave can handle himself. John, you can't talk to him like that. He's very fragile. I'm like, okay. So John Frusciante, you know, finally got clean and played in the band, then quit the band again. And so he married this woman in 2011 named Nicole Turley. I want the world to know this gold-digging whore's name, Nicole Turley. Married him for 4 years, broke up with him, probably because I don't think anyone could be married to John Frusciante. Not that he's abusive, but he's just crazy and delicate.
Delicate, you know, soul.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I can relate.
He's a nurse, not some little girl in a band that no one's heard of. So Nicole Turley divorced him and sued him for $75,000 alimony. Plus,
that was
to maintain the style to which she'd become accustomed. And that's the phrase she used. And she was a nobody playing in a garage band before that. Now she's a nobody with all of his money. And she also sued him for an extra $2,400 a month because he was very generous with her and gave her that much to buy presents for her brother. And she sued him to maintain that he had to continue giving her that money. And the judge was like, okay, $75,000 a month, that's too much. Ruled $50,000 a month for life. Jeez. Plus $2,400 a month
for life.
So she could continue buying presents for her brother. Continue the generosity at the point of a gun. And I don't know that he has it at this point because he doesn't tour anymore. He's still got some royalties, but he's probably going to have to go out and do stuff he hates, like, you know, play music for people other than his tape recorder. Yeah. Oh, weddings. After Porno for Pyros broke up, my friend Pete DiStefano, who played guitar in that band when Martine played bass, I saw him after that. Like, I saw him. He played Woodstock. 2 months later, he was playing at an Italian restaurant solo over in the corner.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, musicians play music, man. It's what they do.
Yeah.
I respect it. You got to, you know, take care of your family and not steal to do it like the government.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
I meow just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Okay, see, now this picture that you just sent, Michael, this one looks more manageable. I might be able to live with the neatness of this one.
Oh, yeah.
That giant,
it looks like a library.
Rack.
I think it's a store, actually, but maybe not. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow.
Like that's the, those are all neat, you know, not very, the wires aren't extra long.
Wires and buttons. Wire, and
they
knobs.
Could be in the back.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, out of sight, Gary Newman.
Well, you know, I was really thinking I had to get really deep into analog synths until my hero and spirit animal, Gary Newman. Well, my other spirit animal is Bud Dwyer. Who said that today? Somebody. But Google it, people. But don't. But do. Gary Newman is my longtime hero and recent revised hero because I found out he's still doing amazing, beautiful things. And he, you know, kind of built synth pop with analog synths back in the day, in 1979, before MIDI even, when you had to really work at it to keep everything synced and with drums and loops and arpeggiators and things. But Gary Newman, you know, I was like, oh, I have to have more analog synths after I got my first one, because he uses them. And I saw a recent interview with him, and they're like, so you still use all your analog synths? He's like, oh, no, not at all. No, I do everything with soft synths. It's much better. It's much easier. Soft synths are synthesizer, you know, software only controlled by a hardware MIDI controller like a keyboard. You know, you can get a keyboard for $40 that... You know, I made a bunch of my songs with a $40 keyboard plugged into Cubase on my computer. And now I've got a $200 one that's, you know, full size, better, bigger, nicer. But, and I've got some other kind of weird things like a touchpad thing, Korg, NanoPad. And I'm just loving it. I, you know, every day I say I can stop when I want. This is it. So hashtag please donate. Oh, speaking of which, and I have a Patreon. You can join my Patreon. It's Patreon. It's linked on the Freedom Fiends site, and it's a lot of stuff for Freedom Fiends. But lately, it's been a lot of like music. Like people on Patreon are getting like rough mixes of stuff days or weeks before the rest of the world does. So, I actually had one person quit because I was really sick, and like originally I was going to put, you know, a lot of extra episodes and stuff, like reward people for the Patreon like you do on Patreon. And then I got really, really sick from all the fires for like 3 months. And then I got pneumonia. And then I got better. But so one person quit donating, and it was a $2 a month donation. And he said he gave reason he quit because person did not fulfill their promise to give extra things, audio things. And I was like, okay, you cheap whore. $2 donation. I'll show you. I'll put up so many new songs you get sick of me. So I'm creating at that guy who left and isn't listening now.
You show him, Michael.
Yeah, so one other announcement before we get into why the alt-right had some good ideas and Chris Cantwell did nothing wrong. Buttons, Fiends buttons. I have a whole bunch right now. Just got new buttons. When these buttons are gone, Fiends buttons are gone. I'm going to still make stickers, but Fiends buttons are... I mean, I've probably sold 10,000 and I've probably given away 10,000 and I end up losing money on them because I can't not give them away because people need them and they don't have money. And libertarians who talk about the free market are mostly broke. So I make money and then give people stuff and lose money at this show. Hashtag please donate. I used to make a little money at this show, but please donut. But then no one gives Bitcoin anymore because everyone's hodling. They're hodling. Don't hodl.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is evil and it's not backed by anything. So listen, give it to me, man. And I'll destroy it for you.
Well,
safely.
See, and you can take that tactic and I will continue to tell people, feel free to hodl your Bitcoin, but you can still give other things. And I personally accept multiple other cryptos. So.
Yeah. It's good to diversify for sure.
Diversify.
Bitcoin's not gonna be,
Well, no, yeah, I got for donations for myself because I know people aren't going to pay in Bitcoin.
Where can
anymore.
People find your Amazon link, Jeremy?
My Amazon link that doesn't Seriously. Work, apparently.
It does for people that don't know you. It didn't work for me because Amazon figured out you and I know each other. I'm convinced that, you know, like all the algorithms tie together and they know we're buddies, man.
Yeah, this is a crazy thing that happened today. Michael, I had finally set up an Amazon affiliate.
It was a lot of work, too, man. We had to, like, make you jump through all these hoops, too.
Yeah.
But we did it.
And so I get this thing up and running, and Michael goes to test it out, and I accidentally used it a couple of times because I was making orders.
You're
and I forgot that I was testing it out, and I ended up making orders. So I fully expected those to get flagged, and not, you know, I wouldn't get credit for those because
I used to be able to use my own for years, and then they stopped that a few years ago, but.
Yeah, yeah. So I was fully prepared for that. But when Michael said, "Oh, I ordered some stuff," I was like, "Okay, great." And then I kept looking and I kept checking and it kept saying, you know, not, you know, it was saying stuff was ordered, but nothing had shipped, and I wasn't getting any credit for it.
Well, that's
and
then weird.
It and it already shipped, and I'd already received it.
Yeah.
And it should show. I mean, you don't get the money till 3 months later, or the Amazon affiliate. You know, I never get money. I just cash. I just buy more stuff, synthesizers on Amazon, but
I was going to keep it on Amazon because I use that for my kids, so that's probably where most of that was going to go anyway. But so it kept not showing, and then when it finally showed up at his house, Michael said, you know, just sent me a message and said it's here. Can you check now? And I went again and checked today, and finally it's like it's all caught up, and it's still saying nothing. So I sent him a message. I'm like, what's the deal here? And I get this email back, which is kind of essentially half form email, and basically says the two reasons that I would have gotten rejected, and they just pretty much hint at the fact that this is what happened, is that the orders were made by me, which I'm like, okay, I understand some of those orders were mine, but other ones weren't. And it's like, or people you, friends, or you giving your link out to friends, family, or people you know to buy stuff. It's like, wait a minute, isn't that the whole purpose of this?
There should not be an issue with that. That's crazy.
They had a good point. They said that, you know, it's for promotion, not discounts. Like, in other words, what they really want it used for is for people who wouldn't order on Amazon otherwise. Like, you're getting them to Amazon. So that's why I'm saying give it out on the radio to people you don't know, or people you don't know well, or people. I think it's because you've probably used my Amazon link before, right, Jeremy?
I may have at one point in the past. I forget to use them all the time.
Oh, you probably have, because I probably sent you like a product link, like I helped you.
Oh,
I did a bunch of work figuring out what you need and setting it up, and it said, well, just use my link. Yeah. So that's how they figured it out. So they consider that collusion or something. So we can't do that anymore. So people we don't know who don't use Amazon ever. No, but, you know, who we talk you into using Amazon because we like the free market. Yeah, Amazon's getting more persnickety, too. Like, they, a lot of times I'll do, like, buy some equipment and then review it and then link something I made on it so people can go hear or see the equipment in how it works, you know, instead of just, oh, it's great, it changed my life. Like, here's a song I made with this thing. And today they flagged that. And I write a lot of reviews, you know, really useful reviews, like all good, mostly good reviews and a very occasional bad review. And whenever I write a bad review.
I still need to review your book. I'm sorry, I haven't done it yet. I still need to do that.
But you know me. You can't do that. No, you should. You don't know Cash Newman, and you wrote that book.
That's right.
Yeah. So
not your book. Anyway. I mean, Cash Newman's book. I mean.
So, Jeremy, where can people find your Amazon affiliate link?
Oh, so yeah. Well, our link, if it works for you, you can give it a try. I have it at a Genius. What is it? Genius. So it's genius.us/SOL podcast.
Put it in the show notes, too.
Yeah.
There you go. So,
for a few days.
Is it https://?
They actually do that in Halt and Catch Fire. In Halt and Catch Fire at one point. You know, in like 1993, they're giving it a website. It's http://. Yeah. Well, you know, you have to type that in at first. Browsers didn't automatically put it in.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you didn't have to type that, and you could just type in, but you still had to type in www.
Right. But now you don't have to.
No.
Now you can just put like genius.it, and it goes to Jeremy's, you know, cam in his bathroom or something. You snorted. I'm making you both feel good. You snorted, and Jeremy doesn't want to kill himself anymore. I'm sorry.
I didn't want to kill myself. But
you never want to kill yourself. You want to stick around. Every time you've ever thought about suicide, you save your life and you will be an old man because you say to yourself, I don't want to kill myself. I want to stick around and make people miserable.
Yeah.
That worked for me for years.
It's definitely a goal of mine.
Jeremy's like, yep, that's it.
No, it is. There's two reasons people kill themselves, because they're in a lot of pain and they have to end it, which I've never been in that kind of pain emotionally or physically. And the other reason is because they're hurt and they want to hurt other people. But let me tell you this to anyone listening who's ever thinking of suicide, like, I'll show that whore for taking my money. No, you can hurt more people alive for much longer than you can by killing yourself. And if that's what it takes to keep you alive, that's my affirmation for the day. So,
you know, that
tomorrow,
when you
look in the mirror, everyone wake up and say, I'm not going to kill myself just for today because I can make people miserable alive
for much longer. You know, that's so weird, Michael. I have to tell you this. I was actually thinking about talking about suicide as a topic tonight, but in a more serious manner.
Yeah, you knew it after I leave. I actually once talked a girl out of suicide in San Francisco by saying, hey, before you destroy that body, let me play with it for a couple days. And she did.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, she got in a good mood and didn't kill herself.
Hey, man.
And that little girl grew up to be Trent Reznor. Okay, so let's go. Back when he was playing guitar with a flower pot hat on, playing air guitar to Devo in his room in the 80s. I'm sorry. In his mom's paneled basement. So speaking of mom's paneled basements, Chris Cantwell did nothing wrong. So I got to clarify or add some more information to two things I said that were pretty funnily taken out of context by our friend Dave Painter, who did a post the other day and that turned into like a screaming match.
Oh, I read the whole thing.
Yeah.
I read the whole thing.
Explain the whole thing, one of you. What did he post?
Well, he posted, I don't remember specifically, but it was a couple of excerpts of the things that you had said. And one was that Cantwell didn't do anything wrong. And the other was that the alt-right has some good ideas.
Yeah.
And he posted it in order to bring traffic to the show.
Right. Thanks, Dave, for your service. And I believe those two things, but I need to add some asterisks.
But it was out of context. Yeah.
My record is going to have asterisks here. It's like, I'm like the sports ball steroid guys.
And then the screaming match ended up being primarily about borders and crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what it always is with those guys.
So Chris Cantwell did nothing wrong. So first of all, who is Chris Cantwell for those people in the cheap seats?
The crying Nazi.
Yes. That's what his gravestone's going to say one day.
Just Google the crying Nazi, lies. Folks.
Well, because Newsweek called him that. And
I think
then
lots of people know who he is.
Well, because that's the first line in his new Wikipedia page, and it's going to stay because Newsweek called him that. And Newsweek is dying, but it's still good for like attribution on Wikipedia.
Yeah, name recognition.
Yeah, so that's a takeoff on something alt-right people say, half-jokingly, half-seriously. They say Hitler did nothing wrong. So Hitler did a lot wrong, but Chris Cantwell, he's a jerk, but he shouldn't be in prison, in jail. And we'll talk more when we get back.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, Meow Bit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
That'd be a good name for a band, Pink Noise. I was actually in a band called Pink Noise. My old girlfriend sang. Yeah. When I was in Bob, it was a side project. You know, it was kind of like what John Frusciante did for that whore. I did the same thing for some deadhead chick. I played in her backing band.
Pink
but,
Noise.
But, you know, she just sued me for 8 hits of acid and a carton of smokes.
No, but I'm serious. Google that, though. White that Noise for a Dark World.
That was 50% of my holdings at the time, too. You know, so...
Yeah, but no, it's really good. I think you'd really appreciate it. Especially
I never did drugs. I don't do drugs. I never did drugs.
Especially.
All right, so
I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to talk to you.
Yeah, but all right, go ahead.
Yeah, given what you're working on right now, I think you'd appreciate it. Just saying.
I don't want any influences.
It's okay.
I don't know. That sounds like something John Frusciante would say. I don't want to. I can't listen to music. I watch
it's
the kites.
Hard.
I go watch the kite surfers down at Malibu Beach, and that is my influence.
It's really difficult not to be influenced in some way.
Yeah, my influence has all stopped like 35 years ago, so that's cool. It's retro, man. Yeah, that's why I use Cubase 5.1. It's not because that's the last version that you can get pirated. I would never pirate anything. I'm not using the 9.0 version because I like... I like the classic. I like the vintage Cubase. Also, because Nima Vidotti uses the same one, and then I can bug him with tech questions, and he knows the answer. So, all right, Chris Cantwell did nothing wrong. So, I don't know. It kind of speaks for itself. He did a lot wrong, but none of it involved Charlottesville. How's that? Like, everything he's done his whole life, he's just been a disappointment to his mother, to his girlfriend, to his friends, to anyone he ever loved, to anyone who ever cared about him. He has disappointed them severely. However, in Charlottesville, in the Battle of Charlottesville, he was a valiant warrior for the white race. No, okay, he did nothing wrong. I watched the video. I watched the streaming. What?
Yeah. So I said that's getting clipped and used at some point against you.
In a court of law? Yeah. Well, he got arrested for self-defense, basically. I saw it live when it happened.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Him and I now have something else in common. Look at that.
I was thinking about that today, too. I was thinking, like, you know, you kind of have an affinity going here with, you got a bromance of situation going with Cantwell because you both did nothing wrong. So, you know, acted in self-defense. You pulled a knife and said, "Get off my property." And of course, they cut the part where they bugged you on your property trespassing. So it just looks like, you know, this is how Jeremy meets you and you walk up to his house. He pulls a knife and says, "Get off my lawn, you kids." But
exactly.
Same thing with Cantwell.
Most people's first impression of Cantwell is a picture of him pepper spraying someone else
or crying.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Pouring milk on his face.
Yeah. And there then, is, oh, the memes are rolling right in. So, real quick, I got to get this stuff out because I'm not coming back and I don't want to end on a cliffhanger. So, basically, he did nothing wrong. He's a political prisoner. He's facing 60 years in prison for self-defense. Yeah. The governor and I was talking to DJ about this. I think it's possible that he's going to go to prison for a few decades. And it's going to end up in the Supreme Court because I really think he's being used blatantly as a political pawn. Yeah. He was denied bail, and they denied bail saying your statements about Jews made you dangerous. Ugh, that's insane. Geez.
Yeah.
And you're Jewish, and you're saying, oh, geez, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
And,
yeah.
And I'm 164th black, and no, that doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm part Jewish, and I see an injustice. I mean, I know an injustice when I see it, you know? My dad's a lawyer, so...
Really, the alt-right, a lot of what they hate really is just socialism. And, like, you know, I don't think... I can't speak for them, but it's not really worth hating Jews. It's not really worth hating gays. there's good people in all of them, but like all of that stuff is weaponized as socialism now. Like, you know, if you're gay, you have to be for more government. If you're, you know, a lot of Jewish people are Democrats, they're for bigger government. That's why Ben Stone's a bad Quaker. A lot of Quakers are socialists too. It's all weaponized socialism in panties. Feminism is, you know, equality for women is great, but socialism in panties, you know, women using what's between their legs as a weapon against the world and wanting to kill and enslave men. That's what it comes down to a lot. And then things like some whore of a judge in California giving that whore of a woman, ex-wife of John Frusciante, all his money, you know, because she, what, loved him, lived with him for four years, married him.
Yeah.
Freaking California. So anyway, the alt-right had some good ideas. I don't know. I don't believe with the, like, tribalism of it. I don't believe in
the collectivism of it?
Yeah, collectivism. Yeah. But I believe that people should be able to keep their money and be left alone and make their own land area if they want.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah. And I don't love open borders because I think there should be private property everywhere. Get rid of the welfare state and we can talk about open borders. That's my final offer. World. It's been fun. I'd love to do the show with you guys.
I've missed you.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Yuck, yuck, yuck. We don't like governments. Yeah. Learn more at bipcot.org. So, that was a really fun first hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always good when Michael's around on high energy.
Yeah, super high energy. He's on Eurocrack.
I don't know. Exactly. I don't know to talk too much when he's
for anyone who's just tuning in for the second hour. What we mean by that is not really crack. It's just kind of a fun way to say Eurorack, which is a synthesizer type system with lots of buttons and knobs and wires. Oh my! But yeah, he's totally obsessed with it, and he's been making a lot of really kind of cool music with it. Not kind of cool, very cool. Have you listened?
I've listened to a couple of things he sent me. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I meant to listen to the one he sent earlier during this past break, but then I stepped out for a minute, and then you and I were talking, and I totally forgot to do it. So I'll get to it after the show. I have some time to kill while I'm editing.
Right. Yeah. He's really talented. I mean, I was listening. I mean, obviously, he's had many bands and whatnot, and I've enjoyed the music of Bomb. I haven't really heard much of anything else that he's done, but this music recently that he's putting out, it's interesting. It's really interesting. It's art. It's definitely art.
Yeah, it's you know, it's trippy stuff to me. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, very trippy.
Makes me want to break out the bag of psilocybin I may or may not have in my freezer.
Well, it was funny because what I was kind of inadvertently was listening to the other day was the I can't even remember the name of it now, the Enema for Your Lymph System. I think it was that one, and I had just smoked a bunch and walked in on that and was listening. And yeah, it definitely affected my experience, enhanced it to a degree, for sure.
Yeah, see, music doesn't have that effect on me anymore. It's probably because I smoke way too much, but or at least way too regularly.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think we've talked about this before. I'm a bit of a lightweight, so I.
There's nothing wrong with that. I was talking to somebody earlier. Yeah, there you go. Well, no, I was talking to somebody earlier who was saying that they were just trying to get back into it after years of staying away from it, and they were like, you know, almost lamenting the fact that they were only using like a very little amount, and they were able to stretch it out for a long, a tiny little amount for like over a 2 week period, which would like seems insane by my standards.
Right.
But I was like, no, you don't understand. That's wonderful. I wish
That's
I could be
thing.
Like that.
Yeah.
If I could go back to like those one hits that would like rock my world, and like then I could put the bowl down and just be good for like a couple hours, you know, like that'd be great. I'd love it. Unfortunately, you know, especially because I only have my kids like, you know, less than half the week, I have plenty of time alone, and you know, I have plenty of time to enjoy myself.
Right. Yeah, and you should. You deserve that, Jeremy.
Oh yeah, sure, why not?
you've been through a lot.
Oh yeah, it's been a heck of a year.
Yeah.
Still going. Yeah.
And you have to, once again, you have to wait.
Oh, yeah. I had court again today. And, technically, it was my side that asked for the adjournment this time, because my lawyer kind of pulled an audible out on me at the line of scrimmage, because we had one plan going into the courtroom that I wasn't thrilled with, but I was taking it because it seemed like the best plan of action at the current time. And then he all of a sudden changed things up at the, you know, when he went up to speak to the conference with the judge and the DA before I was actually before I was called to the stand, or you know, to, you know, whatever, you know, be presented in front of the judge and all that BS. And yeah, it was. So he actually asked for the adjournment, but it was in reality, it's because the state, after this entire time, I mean, this has been going on now for months, you know, because this took place at the very end of April, beginning of May. And now here we are at the end of September, and it's still going on. This was, I think, my sixth court appearance altogether. Four, five. Yeah, I've had to be at five of them, and there's been six altogether.
Oh my God.
And there was a talk from the DA after the last date that if I was able to provide character reference letters to them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That would go a long way towards.
Right.
Finally making it, you know, having a plea deal to present us. And I got a bunch of letters. A bunch of people were nice enough to write them for me. And I got them to my lawyer, and he got them to them. And I waited and I waited and I didn't hear anything. And I checked in with my lawyer. He's like, well, I sent it to him. I'm going to call and confirm. He said, and it got back to me, okay, yeah, they confirmed, you know, that they have them, and but still nothing yet.
Right.
And basically they literally waited until half an hour before court this morning to present my lawyer with an offer, which meant that I had essentially, well, about an hour to 2 hours to make a decision.
Oh my God.
Of whether to accept this deal or not, after they've made me wait this entire time with adjournment after adjournment.
Right.
With only, like, this is what, you know, I knew this pretty much going in, but it was like really driven home to me that the DA, kind of like the cops have to only utter the phrase, I was afraid for my life. The DA only needs to utter the phrase, we're not ready, Your Honor. And that's enough. No real reasoning behind it. That's enough for the judge to go, okay, yeah, we can adjourn this, you know, right away, just to, you know, for another month or so.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But when it comes to my side, it's a really tricky thing. And the only reason we got the adjournment today was because the judge changed at the last minute.
Yeah.
And my lawyer all of a sudden didn't feel comfortable with going forth with a plan that he kind of talked me into, because I wasn't very thrilled with it. So now it's extended even further. And it's looking like the me going to trial is now back on the table again.
Oh God.
Luckily I have what I could only really describe as, because how he's been described to me is essentially a shark of a of a trial lawyer lined up. But, you know, he's going to cost money that, unfortunately, even though I'm getting the family discount, because he's another one of the people in my my cousin's circles,
right.
It's still money I don't have.
Yeah.
But I have to go meet with him on Friday and see what he thinks, because, you know, like I said, I wasn't thrilled with their deal. Obviously, I can't go into too many. I still can't go into too many specifics about it, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, I got supposed to be good about these things. as former Fiend counsel, because he renounced this himself of that title. Randy England was one of the first ones to suggest and tell me, yeah, you should not talk about this stuff. But basically, like, most of the offer was like the type of stuff I kind of figured, like the reduced charge, so it becomes a violation and not a misdemeanor,
right.
But tack on as many other additional, you know, BS things as they can. And the one that really hit me that I was like, I can't do this. I can't take this was at that point. And still now, because we were never actually told, because we went with the adjournment instead of accepting the plea, is an undisclosed amount of fine
on
top of everything else. And I'm like, oh, no. I can't. No, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to plead guilty to something that I know I didn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had accepted the deal, they probably would have told us today. But, you know, they kind of just got out of actually having to tell us because of the way things went down. But I'm like, when I talked to my lawyer after the fact about this, when I made mention of the fact that the way he was describing to me sounded a lot like they run the traffic court in this county. And he was like, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, the way he said it to me is, you know, yeah, they'll pretty much plea you down from the more serious quote unquote crimes to a seatbelt violation, but still charge you the same fines they would have charged you for the original charge. They would have nailed you for the original charge.
So if you had agreed, you would have been on the line for this undisclosed amount of fines.
Yeah. And apparently another thing I learned.
But they would have disclosed it, and then you would have known.
I would have known. Yeah. But all the other stuff I'm not really thrilled about either. Obviously.
Right.
And of course, for me, the most important thing is really the, I mean, aside from the money, is the admitting guilt to something I didn't do.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think I finally had a breakthrough with my lawyer today, you know, with my current lawyer today, because him and I have butted heads over our philosophical differences through this entire thing, you know, because he just wasn't getting where I was coming from. And I think today the fact that he changed things up on the fly and the conversation we had after the fact and his encouragement for me to seek other avenues, and now his, you know, his view of my chances had greatly changed. I don't know. I finally made him understand why it is that I'm doing this crazy stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So explain again what the exact charges are. I mean, if you can do that.
Because that's a matter of public record. I'm currently facing a menacing charge in the fourth degree, which is a Class A misdemeanor. And the DA was nice enough to tack on the additional charge of criminal possession of a weapon, which is also, I believe, a Class A misdemeanor. And, you know, so that's what I'm up against. But, you know, they don't have much. It doesn't seem like the DA thinks they actually have much. You know, if more and more, it just seems like them waiting till like literally the absolute last possible second to present us with a deal here, you know, all these months later, is that they were just dragging this out as long as possible to hope that I was going to end up going crazy and just like begging them to make a deal. So I could say, please just, I'll take it just so we can end this.
That's what they hope for, obviously.
And that was kind of solidified with what I was, you know, with what I was, what as much of the information about the, you know, deal that I was allowed to know about, you know, that just kind of solidified it for me, like that, you know, it's really just about the money for them at this point, because they know that they don't really have much.
So as far as the weapons charge, I mean, is it actually listening to illegal? We're on break now. His weird
friends. Worms.
Worms.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all-American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America. We're back. And we were talking a little bit about what's going on with you, Jeremy. Yes. Kind of has been sort of your life for a while now.
Almost closing in, getting close to half a year of this garbage. But.
Ridiculous, yeah. And we were talking about the actual charges that they have, the state has filed against you. And one of which is a criminal possession of a weapon. And I was in the middle of asking you, you know, what, you know, if the type of weapon, like, which was a knife, if what you had is actually illegal, when we were very rudely interrupted by the break. I'm only kidding. Only kidding.
The market. How dare you, market? How dare you?
So you were saying during the break that, you know, to your knowledge, that what you had a knife, and it's not illegal. And it was just one of those kind of add-on charges.
I think the legal limit out here for blades is either 4 1/4 or 4.5 inches, one of those two. In either case, mine is just, I think it's like 4.2
okay.
inches.
Yeah, right.
So in that regard, as far as I know, because it's a fixed blade, it's well within the legal limits. Mm-hmm. The cops on the scene the night that I was arrested, multiple ones, including the sergeant, all told me that that the knife itself was not illegal. Mm-hmm. And even having it on my person, off my property, was not illegal, much less on my property.
Right. And so is this absolutely a BS charge?
Yeah, it's a trumped up charge by the DA. It's a typical tactic they take, mm-hmm. That's what I was saying before about the fact that, you know, that my lawyer essentially confirmed that this is, when it comes to a lot of cases like this, they essentially run it the same way they do with the traffic court scam, where it's mm-hmm. it's literally just about revenue generation. It's
right,
not about
absolutely.
Safety. It's not about protecting people. I mean, obviously that's been my argument the entire time, and what I've butted head with my current lawyer about a bunch up until today was the fact that, you know, this whole thing is just, you know, obviously I think the Constitution, I think the laws, I think all this, you know, government itself is ridiculous. But you know, if I'm going to be stuck playing by their rules, well, I'm going to use their rules against them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my whole argument was, well, your number one job is supposed to protect private property, and you're failing miserably at that because you have me in here instead of the people who are trespassing.
Right. Yeah.
So they have, you know, all they're going to do is they're not protecting anybody here. They're in a position at this point where they're just going to try to get money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like a traffic court, they're going to tack on charges. So any plea deal they offer seems that much sweeter. You know, it's kind of like the same thing government does when they offer tax cuts. But what they don't actually tell you is that it's the tax cut is coming off of the proposed increase. So instead of instead of increasing it 10%, they increase it 9.5%, and they tell you they cut the taxes. You know, same type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems that's their kind of sole purpose is to generate revenue. And it's certainly, if anybody is under any kind of illusion that the job of the justice system, or including the police, is to protect and serve, it's not. Yeah, it's not. And that was established by the Supreme Court fairly recently.
Not entirely true. The job of the police is to protect and serve, but it's to protect and serve the state, not you.
Oh yeah, there you go. Right.
That's why, you know, as many I've heard a politician and even judge say over the years, you know, that's, you know, they're so proudly they say it, you know, where we say it derisively, but it's like, that's why they're called law enforcement officers and not peace officers and stuff like that, because that's their job. They're there to enforce the law. They're not there to protect and serve, you know, the community at large.
Yeah. And you were the one that was violated.
Yeah.
The victim.
I had trespassers on my property.
Yeah.
That I was trying to remove without requesting the services of individuals who, as much as it may have pleased me in the moment, I probably would have felt horrible about it afterwards, who actually, you know, were more likely to shoot me or the reporter.
Yeah.
When showing up and called in that situation, when hostilities are still extremely high, rather than me trying to handle it myself, where I didn't have to involve them, because, you know, if they had shown up earlier, then it would have been really ugly.
Yeah.
I was the one who had my property rights violated.
Yeah,
knowingly, because she essentially admitted to it in her follow up article to the news video that they put out. So, you know, that she heard me say, "Get off," before she kept advancing, and I finally pulled the knife out and showed it to them and put it back away. So, anyway, we're headed to the market again.
Yep, we are. This time we're hearing it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Hey. Hey.
Hi there. Hey, come here often.
Not often enough. You know, everybody pronounce. Okay, so let's talk about the word often. I pronounce it often. Most everyone I know pronounces it often.
I don't even know how I just said it. I think
you
I switched
it,
back
you
and forth.
You said often. Really? Yeah.
I thought I said often.
Often.
I may have said, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't know which way I said it, because I think I actually use both. It depends, you know.
Yeah. And I'm not sure where I heard this, but I heard someone say instead of nuclear, and it wasn't George W. Bush, this person said nuclear. And I feel like that's sort of the Southern way to pronounce it, because this person was obviously Southern, and I cannot remember where I saw this.
You know, it's regional dialect. That's like, you know, like Randy's explained to us, most of the country and the world would pronounce where he lives Missouri. Mm-hmm. And people who live there look at you like you're stupid, because they're like, no, it's Missouri. Missouri. It's like, wait a minute. Did I miss that A in there somewhere? What's going on?
And then where you have Louisville, Kentucky, it's not pronounced Louisville or Louisville. It's pronounced Louisville.
What?
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky.
No.
The people who actually are from Louisville, they pronounce what they pronounce, that's how they pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a town that's spelled exactly the same way in Colorado, but it's pronounced Louisville.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I think that town in particular, I think I picked up the pronunciation that I guess most people use, that I've always used from sports.
Louisville. They say Louisville. But the people who live there, apparently, they say Louisville.
The baseball bats, Louisville Sluggers, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I have one of those, actually. So my coat closet.
I don't think I have any. I may have like a miniature one. I mean, I have like softball bats and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but no more Louisville's anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah, mine's really old.
Yeah, back in the day, I had a bunch.
Mine's been around for a long time. It's got a big crack in it.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whose it was, if it was my mom's or my dad's. I'm not sure. But anywho, I have it, among other things.
Well, alrighty then.
My self-defense arsenal.
Oh.
So I wouldn't actually classify it as an arsenal, but
that's a self defense piece. So who'd you hit that ended up with the crack in the bat?
Oh, nobody. No, when it came into my possession, it had the crack already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, so I guess I could have let that be a good story to make
yeah,
sure.
See?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I never think of these things until after the fact. If I just stopped talking for a minute, maybe I would have actually thought of it.
Oh, but yeah, then we might have dead air if you stop talking.
No. All right. Well, okay. So we had a few topics and
yes.
We're not going to get to cover all of them, and that's okay because we got to talk and have Michael on for the first hour and listen to his exuberance, which was awesome. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Well, yeah.
Like I
said, the last time we did a show, the show that we didn't make it onto the radio, the podcast we ended up doing.
Yeah, that was fun.
Those conversations where we don't get to the topics are usually they're more fun. They're usually more interesting.
Yeah, and I hadn't been on. I think I hadn't been on in a while because the last time I was supposed to be on with you, and you, and that was one of the very, very, very few times where you were like, nah, I ain't doing it tonight.
Yeah, I took a personal day, which I never do.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, so it had been a while since I've been on, and I feel a little, I don't know, rusty, I guess. And I felt a little rusty last time when we did our podcast initially, but then I think I warmed up and I did okay. I need to do this more often.
Yeah,
more often.
You do.
Yeah.
Often.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be conscious of it for a while. Now I'm going to try to focus on saying, because I do say it often, certain times, but mm-hmm. a lot of especially when I get excited, I speak quicker. And when I speak mm-hmm. quicker, my words definitely, I do not take enough effort to pronounce my words, you know, carefully and enunciate them rather than not pronounce, you know. You know what I mean?
Right. I find myself doing the same thing. One of the things that I tend to find myself doing more than anything is using lots of filler. And I'm really trying to get conscious of that and not do it. Like I say, you know, and various other things.
Yep. Like and you know are still my two.
Yeah.
Or I know. And you know, sorry.
Yeah. Sometimes, see, I did it. Sometimes I'll stutter as I'm trying to get words out, and lately I've noticed it more and more because I'm wanting to get into podcasting myself, like starting my own show with Dave.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So listening to myself, really listening to myself, I'm hearing myself a lot more, and I'm a lot more not necessarily self-conscious, but I want to change that. I want to change how I speak. And I've noticed that sometimes when I'm trying to get something out, I stutter initially. And I've just started thinking about when I do that Porky Pig. So I'm like, I don't want to sound like Porky Pig. And so I have to slow down. I think that's what it is. I have to slow down because my thoughts are moving much more quickly than I'm able to actually get the words out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. And then I end up using filler and all of that because I'm, yeah.
Yeah, I have the same problem. Mm-hmm. I've always had, my mind's always worked a lot quicker than my mouth can actually keep up with. So
yeah. So anywho, well, yeah. We're still not getting to our topic. We were going to talk about, the last hour toward the end, Michael brought up Chris Cantwell and the alt-right. And I myself, many of you probably don't necessarily, or you know, if you haven't been listening for a very long time, don't necessarily know where I stand on issues. I don't know Chris Cantwell personally, but I certainly don't like him from what I do know. And I don't, you know, agree with his views or any of that. But I do think that you know, he's been unfairly treated by the justice system for sure. And he has a right to think what he thinks and to say what he says. And I don't know. I feel like it's a travesty that he and really it's more of a political thing, I think, than it is anything that he actually did. That's what I think about it. Yeah. And then some of the alt-right stuff. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm definitely for private property, you know. And I'm not, that's as far as I'm going to go into all of that, but more, you know, the free speech kind of stuff. And there's an article that Michael sent to us, which was laughable. And it's one that I kind of really definitely wanted to cover. And it has to do with Jeff Sessions. And it's from the LA Times.
Oh, Jeffy. Jeffy.
So it's an article from the LA Times. And the title of the article is Sessions says, that's a lot of S's there, free speech rights are under attack, quote, at schools, but he sides with Trump on NFL protests. And when you read it, it's mind-blowing, the hypocrisy of this. And did you actually read the article?
Oh yeah. I did. I mean, I've regularly pointed out the absurdities of Jeff Sessions and made fun of him. The complete doublespeak and the double think in his words here, and everything that he openly said is just so blatant. It's it would be completely laughable if it wasn't a serious threat to people like us who actually believe in freedom.
Yeah.
This thought process being in the head of what is considered the attorney general, the top lawyer in the land, basically that's kind of the way it works.
Yeah.
This type of double think thought process runs through the
right. And so basically what he's scary. Yeah. So basically what he's saying in the article, and here's a direct quote from him. He says that freedom of thought and speech on the American campus are under attack. He says universities that once were a place of robust debate were becoming an echo chamber of political correctness and homogenous thought, a shelter for fragile egos. Okay, so he says this, and he's saying this in relation to the fact that basically conservative speakers coming onto to college campuses, which for the most part are fairly liberal. conservative speakers get protested against, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously these conservative speakers are offensive in some way to these liberals, right? So then he goes on to say about the NFL players essentially protesting police brutality and everything, mostly against, black folks and everything, by not, participating in the national anthem and standing and all of that and doing, what they've been doing. And I think that we've been talking on the Freedom Fiends about this for a few days, maybe, or I don't know, or at least a couple of times recently.
I know we covered it on, I think we might have covered it a little while ago, but we covered it on Sunday.
So then he goes on to say about the NFL protests. He goes on to say, he says it's a big mistake to protest in that fashion. Okay. It's a blow to American unity. And then he says that they take a provocative act. So apparently this is a provocative act. They can expect to be condemned, and the president has a right to condemn them, and I would condemn them. He says he also defends Trump's comments about it. Well, the president has free speech rights too. So the way I see it is he's not seeing the fact. He's seeing it from his side. He's offended by what these NFL players are doing. But he's not supporting their right to be offensive, but he is supporting the conservative speaker's right to be offensive.
Yeah. Hypocrisy is insane.
Right. And so, and free speech, I mean, what that is for is to cover offensive speech.
Well, that's kind of and I mean, to unpack these two diametrically opposed statements from the same man on the same topic,
right?
Not only to expound on what you were saying, he's completely ignoring that he's being offended. It's that whatchamacallit? It's not a matter of It's not. I just totally lost my train of thought on that, which is a good thing because I hear the music coming in, and yeah. I'll have to pick it up when we come back.
Yeah, and that's fine. Time for that.
Jeffy's horrible, and this just proves it.
But, they're all horrible. I mean, come on.
But he's one of the worst.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Kitty's looking at me. She's like, what are you doing? That is not even what I sound like.
Spot on, Mom. Spot on. So we're back. And in the last segment, we were talking about this article from the LA Times about Jeffy Sessions and his insane doublespeak. And I do remember where I was trying to go before I started stumbling into the break just before. But what I wanted to say was that, you know, along with what we were talking about earlier about his just like blind, you know, seeming ignorance to the fact that, you know, he's kind of arguing for the same things and ignoring the fact that he's, you know, condemning condoning one action and condemning another not seeing that they're essentially the same. But on top of that, like the words he used in that one quote, like he uses the word echo chamber and, and homogenous thought.
It applies to both sides,
well,
dude.
Exactly. Because the later quotes about how the players are going about this the wrong way because it's not championing unity. It's like, okay, do you not realize
he's anti-American?
Do you clearly not realize the blatant collectivism in what you're proposing, Jeff?
Apparently not. Yeah.
I mean, this guy is obvious. I mean, I've had a problem with him for a long time. Even when I was still a statist, as I was heading into anarchism, like he was one of the ones who bothered me a lot as I made my transition. Just the more and more I heard about him when I was still paying attention to politics a lot. And that's when he was still just a senator in Alabama? Is that where that's where he's from, right? I think Alabama, Arkansas, one of the two.
Yeah. One of those states.
Well, no, it's one of the two. I don't remember.
One of the Bible Belt states.
I think it's Alabama, but I might be wrong. But anyway, you know, with like, you know, everything he's done since he's been put in the role of Attorney General, like his reinvigorated war on pot, you know, which is just so insane, you know, to pretty much back up the quote that gets played a lot by him from a couple of years back when he said that, you know, basically everybody who smokes pot is a bad person.
Yeah.
Which is just pure insanity because, you know, something I've learned as I've gone through the years on this planet is, you know, if you stop and look around every once in a while, you'll figure out that a whole lot more people than you ever imagined and people that you could never imagine smoking, they just don't tell you about it. They all do.
Right. Yeah.
I've made so many friendships.
A lot more. Yeah, exactly. A lot more people than you would think.
Yeah.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
So many friendships of mine have blossomed out of like accidentally stumbling upon each other smoking. Wait, it's like, oh my
smoke?
God, you?
I do too. Awesome.
Here.
Yeah.
You know,
like, soccer moms and all kinds of people do.
Yeah.
I'm not a soccer mom.
Oh, it's funny you said soccer moms. I remember I just started, rewatching Weeds the other night.
Oh yeah, it's a great show.
I love that show. Threw it on. It's like binge watching for a few episodes.
I've been watching The Office again.
I've still never watched that.
Really?
Neither version.
Actually, I think I mentioned this last show we did. I mentioned this when we did our actual like podcast and not radio show that I've been watching The Office because I'm remembering you said you've never watched it.
Oh yeah, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I barely remember yesterday, so. a couple of weeks ago is going to be a real challenge.
It's funny. Yeah, I love Steve Carell.
I do too.
I think the show. I mean, I can't. The show took a different tone when he left, but it was still pretty funny. Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. I'm really trying so hard to get away from watching stuff for a while and actually get into reading and doing and focusing on all the stuff that I have to focus on, because you know, on top of still dealing with the court case, I'm still trying to figure out how to get the heck out of New York as quickly as possible, you know.
Yeah.
And make money along the way, which is going to be tricky.
You can do it. You can do it.
Well, I don't really have a choice.
Yep, pretty much. So that's why you can.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, this has been awesome. And I'm really glad you're getting into reading again. What are you reading?
What's next
on your reading list?
I'm actually in the middle of a book that I finally got around to finishing. Well, I'm finally trying to get around to finishing. Still Life with Woodpecker by Tom Robbins.
Yeah, I read that a long time ago. I need to pick it up again. I'm reading, I started reading the Dark Tower series by Stephen King.
That. Love that.
Yeah, I just got into it. I'm reading The Gunslinger right now. And
I've read the whole series twice.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, I'll have to talk to you about it then.
All right. Well, this has been great. It's always
reading is fundamental.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. More of us, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.
Meow. Kitty, kitty.